Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Back Nation on 105.3 The Fan, home of the Cowboys. Headline in the USA Today from the columnist Jarrett Bell. Opinion: Jerry Jones should know better than to pick a media fight he can't win. As Jarrett Bell, USA Today, joins us now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Good, man. Just getting ready for week seven, it is, yes.
Yeah. It's crazy how fast this thing moves along, especially with the storylines this year. Perhaps none more surprising than Jerry Jones going after our morning show. Had you ever seen anything like this, Jarrett?
You've seeing people get ticked off and stuff. Yeah. It's just surprising because Jerry is so media savvy, and, you know, it can be so much fun for a show like that.
Yeah.
Or for, you know, any interview situation. So I think coming from him, I've seen him testy and ticked off before, but I went and watched it. I watched the podcast and I listened to it and checked it out after it made headlines, and looked like it was going pretty good for a minute, a few minutes at the top. And then, I think his frustration came out. But as I wrote in the column, you know, you can't take it out on those guys for asking the questions that were, like, totally fair, you know?
Yeah.
So,
no, yeah. Do you think he feels defensive about how the team's just not very good?
Yeah, oh, totally. Yeah, because it all comes back to him. And I mean, this narrative about them not winning, you know, a championship or even getting to the championship game, you know, first it was 5 years, then 10, 15, 20. It's been so many years. And they've had some really good teams during that time frame, obviously. But this one is different because, you know, he made the whole proclamation during the offseason that they were all in, and seeing just kind of how last season ended and just not making the moves. You know, that's the one thing I'll say that's kind of striking with the Cowboys is that they used to be, and Jerry used to be the one that would go out and make some big splash deal. And it wasn't just for splash. I mean, you talk about Charles Haley, Deion Sanders. I mean, that was kind of part of their MO, and that really hadn't happened here in a while.
Jared, you know Jerry Jones very, very well. You've covered him a long time. Were you really surprised that he acted this way? Is this? I mean, it's so uncharacteristic as you met, but is the pressure really on him that much?
You know, it's tough to get inside somebody's head all the time, but just let's just go with what we've seen from Jerry over the years. I mean, he's a guy, and like you said, I've had a really good relationship with him for many, many years,
yeah.
And I've written things that he didn't like, and, you know, he'll say it and so on and so forth, but he's always been a stand-up guy. And when things are not going well for him or for his team especially, and that, you know, you go back, you know, way back. I mean, from the time he walked in the door, and he was the guy that fired Tom Landry, right?
Sure.
Which he really didn't, but he did, and all of that. But the whole point being, he's always had thick skin. He's always been a stand-up guy. And so it's kind of like, okay, ask me the question. You may not agree with me. I think that, you know, the national anthem situation a few years ago, that was a classic example,
mm-hmm.
where I know I sure didn't agree with him, and a lot of people didn't, but He didn't hide from what he felt his position, you know, in justifying his position. So that's one example. But he's had, you know, there's all these different things, the drama off the field and with certain players during the 90s and even since then. And he was always a guy who, you know, you could at least say he's going to answer the questions, right? And there are a lot of teams in the NFL, when crisis hits, they go run and hide under the desk and lock and close the door. And the Cowboys have never been like that. The Baltimore Ravens have been really good about that, too, when different things have come up. And I'm thinking, you know, Ray Rice and Ray Lewis and stuff like that. You know, certain organizations, they say, okay, we'll take it on the chin and, you know, we'll answer the questions as best we can. And so Jerry's always been that kind of guy. So from that perspective, that's why it was surprising because, you know, I mean, he does these press conferences after every game and people are firing away at him in the moment, in the heat of the moment. And I know there's a lot of times when he just doesn't want to, doesn't feel like it, you know, it's embarrassing. But yeah, this one just in that moment, you know, I don't know if it was like a 28-minute podcast or whatever, you know, and it was kind of going to, you know, item by item, which I thought was fair, you know. And I'm just like, you know, you do this thing twice a week, right? So it's not like you're not familiar with each other, talking about the hosts and with him. And you have dialogue, and there's been a whole lot of, you know, lopsided losses lately going back to the playoffs last year. So that was what was surprising because, you know, the questions about what he did in the offseason, his moves, when he signed people, when he didn't sign them, all of that, I mean, that's kind of par for the course. So that was what was surprising. But it also wouldn't surprise me if moving forward – you know, he gets back on those shows at your station and, you know, you chop it up, you know, like business as usual. That wouldn't surprise me either. It's almost what I'm expecting.
Jared Bell, USA Today with us here on 105.3 The Fan. And I agree with you on that. We got a lot of texts and people wondering, like, could it be this is exactly what Jerry wanted, like the mastermind here. Now we're talking about this exchange, the bye week, instead of the root of the issue here, which is your team just had the worst home loss in the history of your ownership, and they're in a bad way at 3-3 going into the bye.
Yeah, I've thought about that too, and I've kind of gone both ways on that. Because, yeah, we are talking about him and not talking about some of the holes and the root of the issues and all of that. But that's where the interview was trying to get at the other day. It's kind of like, hey, in the off season, you could have done this or that. And so maybe he is really defensive. The bottom line message in my mind is that it just really reflects the frustration that's going on. And, I mean, it was bad energy. Just, you know, those few minutes when he was, you know, giving it back to the hosts and stuff. And so I can just imagine what it's like, you know, behind closed doors with the Cowboys when things are not going, when they're going like this. But, you know, it's a long season. Who knows what happens from here? But, yeah, you know, the questions are going to continue, especially if they keep losing. And losing in such, you know, ugly fashion.
Jared Bell, USA Today. Thank you so much for your time, sir. Enjoy week 7.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Cheers. Yeah. There he goes. Thanks for having our teammates back. He did a heck of a job there in the USA Today. All right, we ran out of flags this morning at the Firehouse Tour in Denton. Two chances to pick up your one-of-a-kind G-Bag Nation flag coming up next week on Thursday at Richardson Bar and Grill on East Campbell Road. And then Friday, it's a double fan broadcast, Buffalo Wild Wings in Grand Prairie. Stop by anytime between 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and you can grab your flag next Friday. We'll be there in Grand Prairie at Buffalo Wild Wings with the KMC Masterpiece. Man, I love some of the journalism that's being done around this story. David Moore of the Morning News criticized Jerry last night in a piece that was published.
It's surprising.
And today he did the top 10 mistakes that the Cowboys have made leading into this year. Hmm. How did the struggling Cowboys get here, ranking the front office's offseason missteps? I mean, spelling it out for everybody. And, you know, there's 10 pretty significant ones. You know, I said yesterday, I think it's amazing that in the 90s, when Dale Hansen was covering this transition, you know, and now you had Jerry Jones owner post Jimmy, they were highly critical of a lot of the things that we just accept as normal today as far as the logistics of how this thing runs. But, you know, you just drill down on this year, and there's a number of things, you know, that I think a lot of other teams just would not do. Number 10, allowing head coach Mike McCarthy to go into a lame duck season. It's amazing how Jerry Jones just can't stomach the idea of giving millions of dollars to somebody. That's like par for the course as a successful pro sports team or college sports team. You got to be willing to have coaches that you're giving millions of dollars to go away for. And for Jerry, it's like his pride and ego just won't let it go.
Yeah, I just kind of felt like when he did that and maybe some of the things that were going on with Dak and how hard it was to sign Dak, that he was on his way to clearing the decks.
Yeah.
You know, and He might have been the plan, and then got talked into signing Dak very, very late. So it's you're right. Jerry doesn't want to pay somebody not to do a job.
Number 9, letting Tyron Smith leave in free agency. I don't know, at the time it seemed like a mistake for the price, but he's not playing that well, so that might have actually been a good decision collectively. We'll have to see. Like,
how many games Tyron I would have plays. Made even before this year. And last year, Tyron, I think, played more games than any of us even thought that he would. But I don't disagree with that move.
Signing only one outside free agent, Eric Kendricks, who has a chance to start. I would say yes, unless you acknowledge that this is probably a soft rebuild. And I know they won't call it like that because Jerry Jones doesn't want to tell people to tune out. But I think if you think they're going through a soft rebuild, like not bringing many players back was the right thing to do because they have to get their cap in order one way or another. Number 7, letting Stephon Gilmore leave in free agency. Mistake or not, you guys, what do you say?
I would have re-signed Gilly personally. I thought higher of him than I think some others did, but I understand for the price maybe why that got a little too rich for them.
How about, go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, do you feel like the corners are killing them right now? I mean,
I don't think it's good.
I mean, I'm more concerned about Diggs than I really are with AO and guys like that.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. I think that
I understand what those guys are.
I just still think you'd be in a better position with Gilmore personally. You wouldn't have to be doing stuff with Diggs, but when Bland comes back and plays, sure, but he's hurt, right? Like Gilmore still would have been a great insurance policy.
What are you doing?
For all of this?
What are you doing then? And I'm just asking. I'm not trying to bully you or anything like that. But I'm just asking, if Bland does come back, what do you do with Gilmore?
Well, then Gilmore, either you still play him outside and you can kick Bland inside for nickel situations, or Gilmore just doesn't see the field much. Or you could play him and bench Trayvon Diggs and send a little bit of a damn message if you wanted to.
Yeah, I have bigger concerns about what's going on with Diggs.
Number 6, letting Dorrance Armstrong leave in free agency. I mean, that's 3 years, $33 million. I don't think you could have brought Dorrance Armstrong back. But, you know, after the injuries they've had to defensive end, it has been.
You'd have never thought all those defensive ends were not going to be there.
Now, here's a real mistake. Number 5, not taking a running back in the draft.
That itself, and that's why I continue to look at, kind of had it earmarked right where they took Leofau in the third round. And Leofau has been fine, but, man, I'm watching all these running backs I had on my board at the time, you know, have some success, and maybe that would have been helped you a little bit better there.
Hopefully Leofau turns into a good player.
He hadn't been bad, but as compared to these backs, it's been a little bit of a little trouble.
Number 4, not extending CeeDee Lamb. Yeah, maybe they need a training camp. Number 3, not addressing defensive tackle until late in training camp. They wanted to give Mozzie Smith a shot.
Yeah, they did.
Hankins went to the Seahawks for $2 million.
Yeah.
Not signing Derrick Henry. Yeah, that's a big one, especially after you got through the draft. 2 years, $16 million. Love to see what this team could do with Derrick Henry and another wide receiver. And then not extending Dak Prescott until hours before the season opener. I don't know if that was their mistake or not. It certainly seemed like Dak and the agent, you know, were hell-bent on, you know, getting that number. And they got it.
They got it.
So I think that's the only way you could have done that deal. And I think actually Dak did you a favor. You know, by not dragging this thing out, that's assuming you wanted to keep him. Mm. All righty. I think the mistakes, the bigger fatal flaws, you got to go back way before this year to start looking at that, of why the Cowboys are in this situation. Now, definitely the last two drafts, like Guyton and Mazi, Schoonmaker and Nealon, I think maybe you're 1-for-4 with your first two picks in the last two drafts. You can't survive like that if this is your team-building philosophy. Deprioritizing linebackers and failing to have anybody post Sean Lee other than really Leighton Vander Esch and some day three picks after day three picks. The Jalen Smith pick and contract was insane. Paying Michael Gallup post-injury, paying Terrence Steele off the injury, drafting Zeke, paying Zeke. You know, a lot of the decisions that they've made on key players are big loyalty type of mistakes. You know, like, oh, we know you've just suffered a Joe Theismann injury here, Dak, and you're not going to be able to run anymore, which has been a critical part of your ability to play this sport. But we're absolutely going to set the market here for you with a brand new contract. And 4 years later, as you're getting old and can't win us a playoff game, but, you know, you give us a chance to make the playoffs every year, so... You know, here's this deal. I think those are the bigger picture ones that I'd be looking at more than the decisions they've made. And I'd love it if David Moore can go there. It's amazing, like, you know, that Jerry feeds the morning news stories. You know, he likes to see the breaking news in the morning news. And David Moore, the reporter of record, going after Jerry right after he says, you know, Sean and RJ was too tough on him. I think if you're really paying attention as Jerry Jones, you got to look at that man in the mirror, like he always says, and like, holy cow, every reporter I respect is saying, yeah, my bad. Alrighty, so hopefully this can be that kind of light bulb moment over there. Top 10 at 420 coming up next. Well, Chuck, where are you taking it?
Well, we celebrated National Dessert Day. National Chocolate Cupcake Day is today. I've got the top 10 most controversial dessert takes. What's your most controversial dessert opinion? That's next.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next in the nation.
Here we go, nation. Time for Woolchuck's Top 10 420. Segment of the nation brought to you by Window Nation. Go to windownation.com/cowboys. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's been injured in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online at frankelfirm.com. Here he is, Zach with an H. Your Woolly Bully.
Thank you very much. What's your most controversial dessert opinion? We had National Dessert Day. It's National Chocolate Cupcake Day today. So do you have a controversial dessert opinion? Several already coming through here on the text. 877-881-1053.
Okay, fruit does not belong in dessert unless it's a strawberry.
Here we go. Okay. This was about to happen.
And I don't know if that's technically a fruit. Is it a berry? Is it a fruit? Are berry all berries fruits? Not
these
sure.
Are fruits.
Okay.
So you just put peach cobbler out of there, huh?
Yeah, peach. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, peaches are bad. I mean, that's basically a pear.
So no apple pie.
Pears are amazing too, bro. Yes,
plums, raspberries. I mean, all somewhat okay as snacks, but definitely not in the dessert category. Cream cheese, not a dessert item. Okay, cheese is it's maybe like a nice appetizer. Maybe you know, put a little glob of that on your charcuterie board, Brian.
Yeah, he's out of control,
bro. There you go.
And then especially gourds like pumpkins.
Okay,
100% not a dessert, no matter how
pumpkin
much
pie, sweet cream, potato pie.
No matter how much cream and brown sugar you throw in there, it's not a dessert. You're just dressing up like some really bad health food.
Jeez. Is pumpkin even healthy? I don't know.
I think it is. Pumpkins, just regularly.
Pumpkin's
is it?
Healthy, yeah.
It is healthy.
Probably high in fiber.
I guess the only time benefits. I ever eat pumpkin is pie.
It tastes good.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, geez. Killing a lot of things that I love there, Gavin, but I hear you. We do have...
Sugar and fat do wonderful things for recipes, Wolchuk, okay? But you don't need to take undelicious food and try to make it delicious.
Just not a big fruit guy.
Just stick to making, like, breads and cakes.
Okay. All right. Apple pie is not even a top five.
Banana
pie.
Pudding? You don't like banana pudding?
Yeah, banana pudding.
With a little wafer joint.
You got him.
Yeah, I think I got him.
Okay, you got an exception in there.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Let's go.
That's nice.
Lucius, do you have any controversial?
I don't. I do not. I mean, come on. After Dawson, I can't do that.
No. I think I'm pretty much open to all dessert ideas. Yeah. I don't have any that are like terribly controversial, I don't think.
I think I got one.
Walnuts?
No.
What?
Dark chocolate?
No.
Walnuts are great, bro.
I kind of am against alcohol in desserts.
Okay.
Okay.
I like that. I cannot bourbon bread pudding.
It tweaks the flavor.
The thing, like, if you give me a dessert and you say, "Oh, here, have a bourbon ball."
Yeah.
No. And I eat it, and it tastes awful.
And I'm
thinking this is not a good
spot on, Brian.
And I love alcohol, but I don't like it in my dessert.
No,
does that make sense?
100%
Yeah.
You
could catch it on fire and kind of burn it off. You know,
it sounds like a cool idea.
Yeah. But it's bourbon flavored. Oh, it's this flavored. I'm like, nah, not good.
I think some of those fancy foods, some of those unique flavors.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you could do the easy thing, like with some candies, you know.
What about like Bananas Foster? Doesn't that have liquor in it?
Oh, no, it does. Like they, but you burn it off.
Fan?
Okay. You burn it off. But the thing about it, like if you say, like I gave the example of the bourbon ball.
Right.
You know, like bourbon and the chocolate, it just doesn't.
Like rum and raisin ice cream. I didn't like it either. My grandfather loved it growing up.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's got a weird.
There's something to the booze, though. It's too bitter for the sweetness of the dessert.
That's kind of what I'm looking at right now. Yeah.
We do have several texts coming in here. Carrot cake is not a dessert.
Carrot cake is good.
I love carrot cake. And it's actually an honorable mention on the list. Carrot cake is not a cake.
What, you like it?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay, but it's like it's got cream cheese as the frosting.
Yeah, you wouldn't like it.
It's incredibly bad for a number of reasons.
I'm a big fan. I am. 469 said red beans and chocolate cake is their controversial take.
That's what they like.
They like that combo.
Is coffee as a dessert another bad take?
That would be controversial. I think a lot of people love coffee. I feel like my mom loves coffee ice cream,
and I taste it, and I'm not a fan of the coffee ice cream at all.
Another honorable mention one we've got is that apple pie tastes good with cheese.
You know what? I'll go there.
That's a big thing in Wisconsin, isn't it?
Sharp cheddar.
Yeah.
So their controversy is things they like. I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strawberry shortcake is the best dessert is another controversial take.
Oh, I love me some strawberry shortcake.
I wouldn't put it up there as the best
strawberry
dessert.
Shortcake is really good.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay. 682's got one that I could be in on. I don't know. I don't think I'm a big Black Forest cake fan. I think Black Forest cake might be the worst of the cakes.
Is that because of the cherries?
Maybe. I don't know.
I've just never liked it.
There is a lot of cherries on there. Yeah. There's something about the... And I think, is there coconut shavings, maybe, mixed into that one?
I don't know what is unique about it, but I'm with you.
I remember thinking to myself as a kid when I tried Black Forest cake, like, this was gross.
Was it too dark?
Maybe too dark.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Dark chocolate like might have got you.
It was bitter.
Yeah.
That could be the case. Mm-hmm. That could be the case. Number 10, actually, Dawson, you nailed it. Fruit is not a dessert.
Oh, come on.
Is number 10 on the controversial text.
I love, like, cobbler, peach cobbler.
Peach cobbler with some
cobbler.
Some vanilla pie. Ice cream.
The pie
is warm.
Yeah, I can.
And that combination of cold and warm together with that crust.
It melts together, yeah.
Come on, Dawson.
I'm in on it. What about, like, strawberry ice cream?
It's like Lucius is just standing in the last line. Come on, Dawson.
It's terrible taste.
I mean, if they make a good jelly out of it, you know, you really smash the fruit into, like, a sugar-based jelly, and that's with the bread and ice cream.
Lucius
the
is
crust.
Having none of that.
Don't believe it.
But an actual apple slice? Are you kidding me?
Man,
it's what you eat to keep the doctor away.
Apple slice with a little cinnamon on it. I can't say it. Cinnamon?
Okay. What about this one? Because in South Africa, this is a dessert. Waffles, dessert item. They'll do waffles with ice cream and whipped cream and cherries and chocolate sauce, whatever. Like, basically, it's like a sundae.
That sounds like a damn good brunch.
Your base is the waffle.
You know, breakfast and dessert have a lot in common, I feel like. You know, so I can definitely see that. But yeah, I'll take waffle for breakfast or dessert.
Okay.
Waffle cone.
9 on the controversial dessert list is chocolate ice cream is trash.
I can't go there, man.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
You're out on chocolate ice cream.
I am.
Wow.
It's just too plain for you?
The flavor profile. Okay. I just don't think that's as good.
Okay. Number 8 is mint ice cream tastes like toothpaste.
Yeah, that's awful.
Man.
That is awful.
I like it.
You got to be 60 and above to like that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll be on the mint or mint chocolate chip.
mint chocolate chip.
That's the picture that I'm looking at is mint chocolate chip.
Yes, mint chocolate chip.
Even chocolate chip. I'm in on it, man.
Yes.
I kind of like the freshness taste of it.
Thin mint.
I love thin mints. Yeah.
Just grind up thin mints and put it on there. It's even better.
I can get in on that one. Number seven, pie is better than cake.
It can be true. Absolutely can be.
If I, Lucius, but your favorite slice of pie, your favorite slice of cake, what you doing?
I'm going with pie. I like pecan pie.
I actually agree with
pecan
this.
Pecan pie would be great.
I think I'd rather go pie than cake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's more variety when it comes to pie than there are cake. Yeah. Might be wrong on that.
But a strawberry cake? Oh my God, it's crazy to me.
Is that the favorite cake?
Yeah, I think strawberry cake. Yeah. With strawberry icing too on that thing.
Yeah, okay.
Wah!
A cake can be special, like if you get somebody who can really do it, like with the moistness and the perfect icing.
It can be.
Yeah. You guys like just plain sheet cake? Like a vanilla cake, chocolate icing, or whatever.
I'm in on that.
Like Betty Crocker, Duncan Hines.
Yeah,
you know,
with the powdered sugar icing.
No, it's no powdered sugar. No, it's just, it's like a white cake with just frosting.
Yeah. I can get down on that for sure.
Sheet cake is what they call that. Yeah?
Yeah.
Six, Brian, you're actually on this. Coffee flavored desserts are not good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know people love coffee. I can't go there.
It's a niche market.
Yeah, I can't go there.
And I love coffee.
Sorry, Mom, if you're listening.
I do too, but I love coffee. I've had probably about 3 cups today already. But I don't need coffee in my dessert. No. Now, maybe some of it's okay. It's passable, but I'm not going to seek that out.
I've seen people punish a big steak and then go to the coffee ice cream as a dessert.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe that's a good pairing.
Yeah.
That could be.
Yeah.
Top 5 most controversial dessert takes. Number 5, brownies need walnuts.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes, they do.
I understand why Chick-fil-A pivoted. Chick-fil-A, we used to have incredible brownies. They had the walnuts in them. They were fudge brownies with walnuts. They pivoted. They took the walnuts out, and it's because of the dessert, the nut allergy.
Oh, the nut allergy. That's right.
Yeah. And the brownies they replaced them with were just not nearly as good. They weren't even on the same tier of brownies.
No, that's unfortunate. They didn't have to redo everything. Just take the nuts out.
Yep. I'm with you on the walnuts and the brownies. If you have a nut allergy, then I'm sorry.
Just let me know and I won't serve it for you.
And hey, understood. Yeah. 4, and I can't speak to this. I don't think I've had any of them. Dairy Queen ice cream cakes taste terrible.
I've never had one. I've only had like the Baskin Robbins one.
Me too. I've had Baskin Robbins ice cream cake. I have not come across an ice cream cake that I thought was bad though. I think ice cream cake is underrated.
We got one for Remy's birthday. It was too much ice cream, not enough cake. So we're sawing through it, and it was basically just ice cream formed as a cake.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that would be disappointing.
Okay. That would be disappointing, yeah.
3 is white cake over chocolate cake.
That's what I was asking about, that sheet.
I would side with this. I prefer a vanilla cake over a chocolate cake. Now, I'm down for some chocolate icing, but I like the white cake over chocolate.
I prefer the yellow cake.
Yeah.
Oh, the yellow cake reigns supreme. Yeah. I agree with you.
Chocolate frosting. Okay, yeah. so you do like the chocolate frosting.
Chocolate frosting.
Okay.
Yeah,
not the ice cream, but the chocolate frosting is fine.
The frosting,
You met back in the middle, bro. For a second, I was like, man, I don't know about this dude.
I mean, okay, so chocolate ice cream makes me feel like I need to drink some water after I eat chocolate ice cream.
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I actually probably do go and have some beverage right afterwards. Yeah, some vodka. Number 2 is icing is gross.
Oh, geez.
It can be.
What are we doing?
It can be.
There are, okay, so like red icing, nasty. There's certain like coloring food, like I don't know if it's like the coloring.
You don't like red velvet cake and stuff like that? I know that's not red icing, right?
There are certain icings that taste funky, man. There are. But overall, icing is not gross. I'm team icing over here. Just don't give me weird colors.
Yeah, it can be too much of it too, and you can't, like, you got more icing than cake.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you gotta have a good ratio.
You gotta have a ratio.
That's a good point.
It's just so weird. Like the store bought cake icing.
it's not real icing.
It's just so
plastic,
sugary.
It's very plastic.
And it's somewhat grainy.
Well, they have to make it that way so it'll stay up for a few days. You know?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
They're trying to keep the shelf life on it a little longer.
Yeah. Number 1 though, most controversial dessert opinion, chocolate doesn't go well with fruit. And if you said strawberries, you're thinking chocolate covered strawberries. You don't agree with this one.
I do not agree with that one. No. Okay. I'll do a chocolate covered strawberry.
Give me a chocolate fountain. Give me all the fruits.
Oh, you're talking like a fondue thing?
Yeah.
Like doing the fondue
strawberry?
Thing?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had chocolate and fruits together, bro.
Really?
No.
You never had a...
Maybe some chocolate covered cherries once before, okay. Something like yeah, that. Yeah, there you and go. I didn't like it.
So, right. Lucius, so, okay, you maybe ladies in your life never had the strawberries, chocolate covered strawberries?
No, she don't deserve nothing like that.
There's your top 10.
There we go. Thank you, old Chuck. Coming up next, we'll talk some Cowboys with you, breaking down their biggest flaws and their chances of fixing them. Isaiah Standback is joining us coming up at 5 o'clock right here. It's the G-Bag Nation on the Fan. Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. Isaiah Standback's coming up at 5 o'clock, DallasCowboys.com. Working on the NFL Network's Good Morning Football this week, so that's been cool to see. Okay, the Mets just got out of a little bit of a jam, had ducks on the pond there, threatening to score. The Dodgers were in the top of the second inning. But they get an out there, and now they go to the bottom of the second, up 3-1. The Mets lead the Dodgers here in Game 3 of the NLCS tonight, and Yankees-Guardians a little bit later on. Okay, I have for you here, breaking down the Cowboys' biggest flaws and the chances of correcting them. We start with pass defense. The Cowboys are only giving up 213 yards passing per game, 16th in the league. Misleading stat.
People running the ball.
Yeah, they're giving up 7.9 yards per pass attempt. That's seventh worst in the NFL. They're also giving up 143 rushing yards per game, which is the eighth worst. But just on the pass defense, with getting Bland healthy, with Micah Parsons eventually that's coming back
hope.
Here.
That's your hope.
Do you think the pass defense could be actually good on a per-play basis?
Yeah, they're going to need to get some people in some third-down situations. That's been a big, big problem, you know, and they really haven't had, the pass rush hasn't been there, but like I said, they haven't been able to get people in some long yardage situations. I do think it will improve. I said it earlier. I worry about Diggs, but having Bland back, I think Carson trying to get him going so this isn't a lost season for him. You know, he needs to stay healthy and play as many of these games as he can. You continue to get pretty nice play from Jordan Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it would be nice to have Kendricks back because he helps you a little bit in coverage underneath. So, they've got a lot of, as Stephen Jones likes to say, a lot of moving parts they got to deal with.
Pass defense, Wolchuk, how much better do you have hopes for it?
Yeah, I think
pieces are there.
Yeah, I mean, the health of it, obviously. I mean, Diggs is a guy that coverage-wise, that's been his strength throughout his career. He's a ball hawk. Getting Bland back healthy, that should help. I'd assume that Diggs will get better the further he's removed from the injury. Same thing we saw from Tony Pollard last year. The physical nature of it, tackling, that's something that needs to be a prideful thing. We know that he's capable of doing it. He had a game-winning stick against Cincinnati a couple of years ago.
Threw him back-to-back.
Yeah, last year before the injury, he had a big hit that resulted in a fumble. It seemed like he had kind of turned the corner there a little bit with people calling him out on the toughness. I think Diggs will get better as the season goes on. The Bland stuff, Jordan Lewis obviously playing really well, and Kalen Carson as a rookie should get better. The safeties I'm a little bit nervous about. Like we talked about Malik Hooker, you're dropping picks left and right when they hit you in the hands. Donovan Wilson, physical player, not the best cover guy. Doesn't seem like they want to play Wanya Thomas, Marquise Bell a ton. Safeties, I don't know. But the corners, I do think, will get better as the season goes on.
How about the rush defense? An issue when Dan Quinn was the DC, and we'd hope that Mike Zimmer could help fix things. But, you know, if you just ignore the Steelers and Giants game, it looks like the worst run defense in the NFL. And that's where it would rank if you eliminate those games, which I think is fair to do because those just aren't credible NFL offenses that you got to face in week 3 and 4.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's been bad. Mike would be the first to admit it, you know, and even if you say, well, he's been down some guys. Hey, even when they've had guys healthy, they've been not very good at it. And I really did believe that they were going to be more buttoned up. I didn't think they were going to give up these explosive plays the way they have. It's just been a big, big problem for them.
Now, Dak and CeeDee, let's imagine that's the next thing, you know, chances of it being fixed. Imagine that maybe they don't have the best relationship. I don't think that matters. You know, even if you want to say CeeDee's body language, his facial expressions, his mom's Twitter account, that's an accurate reflection of how he feels about the quarterback. We've seen them have tremendous success. On a team with so many players, you're going to have a lot of people that aren't the best of friends. It doesn't matter. It's about doing your job in professional sports. you know, not being a best buddies with everybody. And maybe that matters more at an amateur level. But, you know, I'm not too worried about this one. But, you know, I think it's to be seen if CD is toxic enough to actually make it a problem. Up to this point in their careers, it hasn't been a problem, you know. But we saw CD's toxic on draft night, you know. You don't have to see anything else than the way he snatched that phone and looked at his girlfriend to know, okay, this guy will bring some toxicity to a relationship. And I feel like since the playoff game last year, we have seen that play out a number of times already. But I just don't think it matters, at least for now. Hope not. What do you guys think?
I mean, I'm very confident that this thing gets back on the right track. The red zone turnovers are the ones that are killers. And I mean, we saw a couple of years ago, what was it? The choice routes, right? That was a conversation. Were they not on the same page? They need to take that out of the playbook entirely. I think this is stuff that's frustrating right now. 5-6 weeks from now, I don't know if we'll be having the same conversations. I think this thing's going to be okay. They're both, to me, I've never thought they didn't have a good relationship. CD was talking like that was a big factor. Dak getting done, why he wanted to re-sign. They were having conversations about that. But when things aren't going well, certainly, you know, emotions, frustrations come out, and CD's clearly not happy with his use in the offense.
You know, I don't know what the nature of the relationship is. I just know that you can trust actions more than words. Yeah. And whenever you sign something, everything is great. You know, players are never going to let you know if there's a bad feeling unless they've totally given up on it, you know, and they're about to leave.
I hear you.
So it's hard, you know, when you see something and you're like, well, it was something there. And then they say, oh no, there's nothing there. You know, you guys are just making stuff up. Right. Well, it's one of those situations where, you know, if the newspaper called and said, hey, we heard that there was something going on at the Fan where you guys don't like each other in real life.
That's true.
You think in any way I'd be like, oh yeah, totally.
That,
you know?
Brian guy is a pain in the ass to work with day.
It's true. Word one of that and your boss and his boss are calling you in his office like, what the hell were you thinking, dude? You know, this is, we're all on the same team trying to head to the same spot. Rushing offense is a point number four where this team has gone sideways here this season. And any hope of fixing it? I kind of had some going into this last game. And then they benched Rico and put Zeke back in the mix more. I guess, you know, him saying whatever he said last week to reporters kind of struck a chord. And the coaches want to put their guy Zeke back in there a little bit more, which is hilarious to me. I don't know. Maybe they're worried that Jerry Jones thinks Zeke is so good and we need to play who the boss says we need to play. But that was weird. Like, I had hope. Shoot, we got Rico Dowdle here making some plays. And then, bam, there was Zeke with more carries than Dowdle. So what do you guys think about this running game here? We need to see the offensive line develop, don't we?
Yeah, you need to get that going. I me personally, and this would be something I think is pretty simple, at least see if Dalvin Cook does have something left. I would do it I would put Dalvin Cook, make him active, and see for the next couple of weeks before the trade deadline. Because you'll know. If Dalvin Cook comes here and kind of gives it a little jump, and all of a sudden some of the blocks that they've been getting, those yards, those expected yards that we, you know, we kind of always talk about when the metrics and things, if all of a sudden he gives you something, then, you know, you're kind of like, okay, maybe it was him. Maybe this line can. Maybe there's something you can do. You know, Mark Schlereth was on with us last week talking about running the football. Give me one thing you can do. Give me something you can do well, something you can kind of hang your hat on. I'd be interested to see if there's something you can do with Dalvin Cook, because if there's not, if Dalvin Cook comes here and you say, okay, well, he's washed and this team isn't really going anywhere with the running game, then there's no need to trade. Just ride this thing out, save the resources. You know, if you're losing games and all that, but you're trying to run the ball with Dalvin Cook and it's not working, then it's probably more to do with your offensive line than it is with the backs.
You have to see what you have. I agree with you.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs. It really is. And, you know, this old school crusty idea that we're going to run it 25 times and somehow make a winning impact by the time we get to the fourth quarter because we've just been running at them and wearing them down. Yeah. I mean, are you trying to win the game 18-13? Do you acknowledge the fact that, you know, in the NFL, if you're not over 25 points per game, then you have a major problem on your hands and it's time to reconsider how much you're running on those early downs? But they doubled down this last time out, which should just shoot the wheels off a lot of your optimism here with this coaching staff. Maybe Mike's already given up. you know, or maybe the game's just passed him by.
Well, and you wonder though, you talk about the give up with Mike, you know, is there now give up in Mike with Jerry maybe going in and asking him to play Ezekiel Elliott? I'm not thinking it's give up as far as quit,
yeah,
but give up of trying to keep the, you know,
boss,
keep the boss happy. Yeah.
I guess if I want this job next year, we're not going to win. I can at least play the guys that he wants. And if that's the case, if Jerry has enough control or enough gumption to go in there and say, play Zeke, I think he's better. And the head coach says, okay.
Yeah.
Then,
well, Mike could also play Zeke and make a point like, I told you.
Yeah. How about that, Zeke?
How about that?
Who else do you think is good, buddy? Isaiah Standback joins us next right here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.